Kyle Whittingham with an opportunity to talk to the media. And by the way, if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I can't find a mic quick enough after a game like that. Like, give me a mic, and I want everybody's full attention, and I want 45 minutes. Everybody listen to me, because I get to talk about all positive things.
Because I have a microphone, and you do not.
And I need more. And so I'm sure Kyle Whittingham is excited to address the media. So today, Lloyd, is obviously an okay day. All rights come when you got bad news or bad performances, and it's, all right, Stanford. When it's a good win and it's a positive, okay.
See, I haven't listened to it yet, and I'm going to go all right.
You swear?
Yeah.
Put your Scott's Honor fingers up. Dude, Scott's Honor. I don't know what that's a Vulcan sign.
Was that Scott's Honor?
Nope. One more. Yep, there you go.
No, that's Weeblos.
No, Weeblos. You spread them for Weeblos, I think. I think, yeah, there. That's
no, Weeblos. That's not
together
right.
For Scott's Honor.
You don't know.
Yeah. Thumb touching pinky, ring finger, middle finger, and pointer finger all extended.
Two fingers together is, that's Cub Scouts.
What is that? Oh, so did you even get your Weeblo?
I did get my Weeblo.
Did you get?
I actually found.
Did you get your wolf?
Yes, I got my wolf.
Did you get
so
your?
So bobcat was, that's early. That's two fingers with the bobcat. I did get my wolf.
Did you get your arrow of light?
Yes, I got my arrow of light. God, good on you. Look at you go.
You really did?
I'm telling you, I have my uniform at home. My dad just found it like a couple weeks ago. My old uniform. This thing's like tiny.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, man, I loved Scouts when I was younger.
Yes.
I loved Cub Scouts.
I did too. I didn't go all the way that way.
Yeah. Boy Scouts.
I did make it to the Weeblo.
Boy Scouts got a little shifty for me. But I did love Cub Scouts. Okay, so you have not heard this.
No. So I'm going to go
Lloyd?
All right.
Lloyd?
No.
Okay, you're going all right?
Yeah, I'm
going
to go all right.
All right, I'm taking okay. Lloyd's got all right. Here's Kyle Whittingham addressing the media.
Okay, first of all, big shout out to our fan base for the game Saturday night. Incredible atmosphere. Just the place was, the environment was as good as it's ever been. And I really appreciate our fans for coming out and supporting our guys. And hope they enjoyed the game. And it was really a something that we'd like to continue to repeat over and over, having that same environment in Rice-Eccles. To start out, I want to shout out to Devin Lloyd as well. He's been named a finalist for the Buckus Award, and I'm not sure how much longer. When does that award get finalized and named?
It'll be named either on or before December 7th.
Okay, so the next couple of weeks it'll be coming down to the wire. So we're proud of Devin and what he's done for us here at Utah. He's having a terrific year and definitely a one of the top linebackers in the country and deserving of being a finalist for the Buckus Award. So thought our guys played really well Saturday night, all three phases. The real objective defensively was to take away the run, and I think our guys did that without question, held them to 60 and some odd yards, and really played sound defensive front football and gap control. Thought that some of the biggest key situations of the game or stretches of the game, number one, when we took over with about 2:05 left on the clock, end of the first half, and put together another outstanding two-minute drive and scored to go up 21-0, very similar to what we did last week against Arizona. And so that was a key drive to put us up 21-0. After the ensuing kickoff, we get a three and out and are able to have the second, probably the biggest play of the game, and the second critical element of the game was Covey's punt return. That really was a huge momentum builder going into halftime. And so if you had to pinpoint one play in the entire game that was the key, it would have been that one. And then the final situation was we came out in the second half, didn't have a very good opening drive with our defense. They went down and scored, but our offense promptly went right down the field and answered to go up 35-7, and it was pretty much over at that point. So again, proud of our guys' offense for I don't know how many weeks in a row it's been now. It sounds like a broken record where they've been outstanding. Only had 8 possessions. You know, we didn't pile up the yardage. I think we had 386-ish, right in that range. But on 8 possessions, that's pretty good production. And 38 points on 8 possessions is really good. So with the games they're trying to shorten the games and get the clock moving quicker and all that, the possessions are down. I mean, you don't have as many possessions as you used to. I remember 20 years ago, you'd have 14, 15 possessions in a game, and just don't have that anymore. So it's a little bit different in that respect. But our offense did make the most of the possessions they got. Special teams, other than the Covey punt return, were solid. We only punted twice, did a nice job in those situations. Kickoff coverage was solid. Had a couple kickoff returns. We haven't had many opportunities in that this year, but did some good things on those returns and made all our PATs, made our field goal. So overall, a very positive night. And now we move on to Colorado. It's all about the seniors this week, seniors and the juniors that are planning on moving on. And so we want to send those guys out the right way. And it's important that we take first things first and don't get ahead of ourselves. Regardless of the circumstances of the situation, we can't sit here and worry about who we might or might not play in a couple weeks. That's not the point of emphasis and the focus. The focus is Colorado Buffaloes. They're playing good football. They beat Washington the other day. And so we've got to turn all our attention, all our focus, all our efforts to the Colorado Buffs, which we will. So questions?
Cal, you mentioned the senior day, obviously, but if I understand it correctly, you have 10 seniors listed, obviously have a bunch of juniors. Do you have a good understanding of how many at this point will be honored on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll probably have about 15 to 17 guys walk, I guess you could call it, you know, come out for the senior introduction. Now, that doesn't mean that every single one of those guys that's a junior is definitively making a decision to move on. It's, you know, we could very well have some guys that go through that ceremony that decide to come back, which we'd welcome them. And so it's better to err on that side than to not have them walk, and then if they leave, not to recognize them. And so I would guess 15, 16, 17 guys will make that walk. And as you mentioned, 10 of them or so are true seniors, if that is a thing anymore, and don't have any more eligibility.
Is Covey one of the guys that will walk on?
We're not going to, you know, in case they change their mind between now and then, I don't want to screw things up with that. So there's a lot, and some of them are still deciding. It's not 100% set now which ones are going to walk and which aren't. But that's just a ballpark guess.
Kyle, talking about the issues you had up on this team over the last 2 years, I mean, it really hasn't changed as far as the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But for what these guys had to go through over the last year, and then seeing them come in as, you know, brand new to the college scene, how has their development been, and, you know, them obviously being really good leaders the last 2 years?
Well, we've had outstanding leadership, and we've needed it. You know, we've been through, as we all know, some absolutely horrific events, and the leaders have stepped up and couldn't be more proud of how they've handled things and how they've kept things together. And that's the mark of a really good football team, has really good leadership. And right now we're playing pretty good football, and I attribute a great deal of that to the leaders on the football team.
You've obviously been spoiled in your playoff hopes in 2019. You spoiled Cutler or Oregon. What does the conference have to do to kind of be back in that playoff discussion? I mean, what do you feel is the best course for you guys?
Well, you know, the Pac-12, we've said it for a lot of years in a row now, is very competitive, very balanced. Nobody's has seemed to be able to have that, not seem to, nobody's had that breakout year where you go through the league unblemished and through the season undefeated, and that's pretty much what it takes with the four team format. And so we just have been beating each other up a little bit, and you know, I think when they do eventually make the move. I don't even know when that's scheduled to happen. I guess I should know, but soon they're going to expand and think that will make things a better situation for everybody, not just us, but for the entire country.
Tom, just to follow up on what Josh said, you've said in the past that you're in favor of a 12-team format. As things move along here, are you still in favor of 12, if not more?
Even more. You know, 16, I think, would be ideal. Yeah. But 12 is a big step in the right direction. And I think 16 would be the ultimate. But it's not going to go there right away, from what I understand.
What do you make of the Buffs with their, you know, they had a really good year last year. You guys went over to their place and beat them, but it seems like they've had a little bit of a down year, even though coming off of a win against Washington.
Yeah, they've got four wins this year, the Huskies, Oregon State, Arizona, and was Northern Colorado, I believe, was their fourth win. And so, they've had some ups and downs this season, as we all have, but they're well coached. They got some good players. And like I said, they're coming off a win against Washington, which gives them momentum, a lot like when we played Arizona a couple weeks ago, and they had coming off a win and were really juiced up for the game and ready to go. Expect that same thing from the Buffaloes.
They have a pretty good linebacker in Landman. Mm-hmm. Is he a guy you've got to keep your eye on at all times?
Yeah, terrific player. I guess he's been dinged up a little bit. Hasn't played much as of late. I've been watching him for a lot of years now. He's really good. He's really good. I don't think he played at all in the Washington game, did he? I haven't really gotten to their defense yet. But,
I don't think so.
Yeah. He was in for the victory formation. Sorry, DJ. Go ahead. But that, just kidding.
Is your defensive line hit a whole new level holding Oregon to 63 yards of rushing, considering what happened earlier against Oregon State, the way you say it?
I would say relative to that, yes. You know, are we a finished product yet and where we need to be? No. We're still not quite as big and strong as we need to be. We got some freshman kids that next year are going to be 10, 15, maybe 20 pounds heavier, stronger, and I think that's really going to be a boost for us. But relative to some of the struggles that we had earlier in the season, we're playing much, much better football right now up front. And as you saw in the game, we started three freshmen, Aliki Vimahi at tackle, Junior Tafunu at tackle, and Van Fillinger out at end. And so those guys just seem to be getting better and better as the weeks go by. And again, we got work to do, and we're the future, I think, is very bright at that position. But right now, we've made a lot of progress from game one to where we are now, but we need to continue taking steps forward.
With that position, it's always been a really big topic where you guys have always been strong at mm-hmm. the position on the D-line. And, you know, normally you're bringing in and having to have these guys progress and develop.
Right.
Is that still the case, or is it more just high-end talent where you guys just have to sharpen some things?
Well, we had Vianney, who was our headliner at D-tackle, get injured and was out for the season. So that forced our hand a little bit to play more freshmen. And in the long run, it's going to be a positive. I think that Coach Puha, Sione Puha, our defensive tackle coach, has done a great job with those interior guys. As I said, they seem to be getting better and better fundamentally and technique-wise every week. And Coach Powell, the same thing with Van. Does that answer your question? I don't know. Was that okay? Yeah, kind of lost my train of thought there for a second.
With high school football getting done now, we see recruits playing other sports like basketball or getting into wrestling or things like that. What's your philosophy on these kids playing other sports? Would you prefer them to stick to football, or do you like to see them play other sports?
Love to see him play other sports. Absolutely love it. That's a plus in recruiting. That's one of the first questions we ask. What other sports do you play? And it's I wouldn't say it's a red flag, but when you hear a guy just plays football, the first thing you ask is why. You know, why do you not play other sports? And so I'm a big proponent of that. I think as a high school player, you should play everything you possibly can. I know there's a lot of guys who will disagree and parents who will disagree, but I think if you're truly a great athlete, then you should be a multi-sport guy. And like I said, we put a premium on that in recruiting, and that's on the positive side of the ledger when we're making our evaluations.
This obviously isn't the first time doing this, but you've got one game left and you have the championship game. What does that go into with recruiting, knowing that a lot of teams may have that whole week to kind of shore up their thing before early signing day? Where are you guys at, and how do you feel about it?
Well, it's definitely worth the trade-off. You know, being in the championship game is absolutely outweighs losing some time in recruiting. The best thing you can do for recruiting is win, and you know, and the exposure and playing in that game is a big positive. Yes, we're going to miss out on 4 or 5 days of evaluations and contacts, but well worth the trade-off, and we have, you know, we'll take that scenario every single year.
Is recruiting more elusive and ever-changing than ever before because coaches are getting fired in season, which would encourage kids to reopen recruitment? So do you see kids cycling in and out of commitments?
Absolutely. And you combine that with the portal, which, by the way, I think is going to go crazy this year. I think the portal is going to be its most active ever this offseason. You're already seeing it really heat up. And so I think between what you just mentioned as well as the ability to move and go without any penalty, it's going to be, it continues to change and evolve, and it will continue to change and evolve down the road. And you got to make sure, in our opinion, that you save X amount of scholarships, hold them back for portal kids, and because oftentimes they don't, they're not in until late in the game. And so you got to be able to have some scholarships in your pocket to accommodate that.
With the portal and holding up the scholarships, how does that change this year just with the number of initial counters for this year going from 25 to 30?
Yeah, that's a big help, and I think it was a great move by the NCAA to do that. And it's still, you still got to balance it. I mean, there's no doubt that the basis of our recruiting and the place where we recruit the most is the high school athlete. I mean, that's not gonna change. Don't see that changing. But now it's been supplemented by the portal. And I think that what level has really suffered is the junior college recruiting. I think there's far less opportunities for junior college players because teams seem to be either going the high school route and then combining that and supplementing that with portal guys, with transfer guys, rather than the JC guys. JC guys used to fill that bill, but now it's shifted.
Does that make the fact that Tavion found his way to you kind of more remarkable, just the whole landscape?
It does. It does, because if you look historically, going back 25 years, we always had 6, 8, 10 JC guys pretty much in every class. Right. And now that number has shrunk to 1, 2, or 3. So.
Now, following up on that, with recruiting, obviously you can't, like you've mentioned, just go all in on transfer portal.
Right.
You have that high school development. But do you feel like you have a good balance, or do you have a specific number that you're looking for each year when you're trying to go through the transfer portal?
Not really a specific number. It just depends on the specific needs for that year. And also, the reason you keep some of those scholarships in your pocket is because the needs are not manifest yet. You know, you have 2 or 3 guys transfer out from a certain position group that can be very damaging. You better have something in your pocket to be able to get that situation rectified.
What do you make of Dan Mullen getting fired at Fort Iron?
Yeah. Tough news. I really like Dan. He obviously, we were here together back when Urban was here. Outstanding football coach, but it just illustrates the mentality and the nature of the beast in this day and age. And with the money that's being made and the instant gratification and people wanting results now, that's how it is. If you don't like it, you don't have the stomach for it, get out of the profession, because it's not going to change, in my opinion.
Coach Whitten, the way you guys have played over the last month, is recruiting momentum like a real thing? Have you guys noticed more interest and momentum in terms of?
Yeah, I would say yes, and we hope to get some more commitments here down the stretch. And I think it's directly tied, or at least somewhat tied, to the success we've had the last 6-7 weeks of the season.
The success you have with your offensive line, is that because you have been able to kind of get it set, or is that because guys are just learning, improving, and getting better?
Both. We took us a minute to get things situated. We lost Jaron Cumb for the season, and we had to shuffle the deck a few times. But then we had guys getting better and stepping up and improving their play. And it's a credit to them and to Coach Harding for getting that done. And they also we're getting picked on a little bit. I shouldn't say picked on, but a little bit maligned early in the season and kind of challenged them, and they responded.
Coach, now that you've had a Sunday to reflect on it, I know the walking line is credit to the assistants and players and whatnot, understandably so, but what does 142 wins mean to Kyle Whitten?
Well, it's been a long journey and a long a long grind, I guess you could say, although I loved every minute of it. But I really don't have a different stance or a different take. I mean, it's, again, I just feel grateful that I could be at one place and have the opportunity to build so many relationships and have so many outstanding players come through and coaches. So I guess I'm not saying anything different than I've said the last couple of weeks, but truly am feel very blessed. That's kind of the bottom line.
How cool was it to see Tyler Huntley make his first NFL start?
Awesome, and to see him win the game and those two late touchdown drives. I texted him today and told him, you know, how proud we are of him, and he's one of the most competitive, toughest kids that's ever come through here, and doesn't surprise me the success he's having because he was driven. He's absolutely a football junkie and just loves everything about the game, and every day, every minute of every day, he's doing something to make himself better. So proud of Tyler.
Some really good stuff right there from Kyle Whittingham. At some point, we'll have a more lengthy conversation about how recruiting's changing with the transfer portal and how it's affecting JUCO ranks and so much more, because there's a definite pattern to what's happening in recruiting, and a nice long conversation. So, Lloyd, hang on to that cut. Or those, there was like two or three cuts from Kyle Whittingham there talking about recruiting that we'll get into a further conversation about at some point. Maybe it'll be more in the offseason. But good stuff from Kyle Whittingham. Hanging out with us today is Andrew Reinert with Wasatch Medical Clinic. Andrew, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to help out our listeners however we possibly can, Andrew. And I know that you've got a few things that you can help them with.
Yes, we certainly do. ED, it's such a big issue. And actually, most men, when they experience problems in the bedroom, do nothing. And the problem gets worse and the relationship suffers. Just like technology has changed pretty much every aspect of our life, it's now changing how we treat ED. Wasatch Medical, we use the two most advanced versions of something called wave therapy. This is basically a technology that emits pressure waves, which repair blood vessels. It's different because it treats the root cause of the problem instead of just masking symptoms like what the pill does.
I know there's been plenty of researches on this too, is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. At wasatchmedicalclinic.com, 50 studies. I think it's irrefutable, but listeners can go and read from the Cleveland Clinic, from Cambridge, the Journal of Sexual Medicine. Even Men's Health Magazine sent one of their writers in, took our treatments, and then wrote about it. So the science is sound, and it is working so well for a lot of guys.
This is Andrew Reinert with Wasatch Medical Clinic, 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000 if you want to get yourself back to recovery. And, Andrew, you've got some incentives to get those phone lines ringing.
We do. Call us now if you're ready to regain your love life. Exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound with our medical doctor. That's free. You can ask all the questions you probably wanted to ask somebody. The gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom, worth the trip. And this is pretty cool. Blood work and testosterone, that's free today as well.
That's 801-901-8000. Give Andrew and Wasatch Medical Clinic a call. Get things started. Today's the day. Get back to good recovery, good health. 801-901-8000. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good, bad, and ugly coming right up.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How in the world could you possibly write a check for $30,000? There's no way I could do that.
You guys are like this. I got an email the other day from the NBA, and my agent's on it, the Jazz are on it, obviously. And it's a little statement from the NBA like, hey, you've been fined this much money, and you need to pay the money by whatever the date was. And I, feeling a bit mischievous, I clicked reply all. And I hope like Adam Silver's not on there or anything, but I wrote back and said, could you guys just send me your Venmo account, and I'll get right to it. And not one person replied, so I don't know if they're going to find me again or not, but the $30,000 fine is a lot less than what one game or two game suspension would have been, so obviously very understanding of why the NBA fined me. I love the NBA. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Catch Jazz Man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good,
the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Welcome back, Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Don't worry, Scotty G will be back with us tomorrow. So if you're missing the voice of the Utah State Aggies, just be patient. He'll be back. Bear with us. Lloyd and I are doing our best.
And he'll be back with your football team on Friday.
Yeah.
And see that, if he can't get him back on that winning track.
That'll give you a chance coming up next Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Good, bad, and ugly brought to you by Zero Res. If you need to get those carpets cleaned, do it with Zero Res. 801-288-9376. All right, Lloyd, the good today, and it might only be good to me. And it might
chances
only
be, are it's probably only good for you.
And it might only be good for you. Did you see who's back on the golf course?
Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods is really? Back on the golf course. He actually Instagrammed a video of him practice swinging. He has been given the green light clearance to swing all his irons. And that's the dumbest thing, man. I don't know why. He's 45 now. And he's out there swinging irons. And I sat there and watched the video over and over and over. And then I started like analyzing things like, okay.
How's his form?
Very nice.
Yeah.
He's not twerking yet. Twerking.
I hope he's not twerking.
He's not twerking. He's not twerking either. He's just nice, smooth swing. And you
that's
know,
probably not good for his hips if he's twerking.
You know, and I'm not even kidding you. One leg, Tiger Woods, me and you in a best ball versus Tiger Woods in a one leg competition. Tiger Woods beats us by 15 strokes.
If he only had one leg?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
He'd beat us by 15
strokes. No, he wouldn't.
Yep. I was watching his swing, man. He's not moving that lead leg at all. And it's like, and by the way, he's had a full bucket, and you could tell that he was running a whole bucket, and his divot area showed that he'd swung probably, 30, 40 times. He's out there hitting balls. It's not like he just set up a ball and was like, I'll give him something to talk about. He's out there hitting balls.
That'd be nice. It's a wishful thinking to have him back, and he's just not going to make another run, though. There's no way.
So we don't have Scotty here today. Scotty typically is the one that would cut in here and be like, bah humbug, this is a dumb story, and I don't care. Do you care that Tiger Woods is swinging a golf club? Does it get you excited?
It gets me twerking.
It gets you You twerk? Are you serious? Does it really get you excited?
It gets me excited, yeah.
Does it get you excited in the sense of, could he come back? Could he compete?
Of course, because he did things that we've never seen before. And there's just this, why do you think we keep following? Because we just think maybe he was so amazing back in the day that you think, he was almost like a god. And you just think, he could do it. He could come back again. Yeah. And maybe he could get another major. Just maybe.
He's so close to Jack.
I mean, if El Pato can come out and get a major, as he smokes cigarettes out on the, at the U.S. Open or whatever, at the age he did or whatever, maybe he could.
El Pato. I forgot El Pato, the smoking phenom. El Pato's in a prison.
Oh, he's in prison, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, things aren't so hot.
But
El Pato.
But maybe he could. Just maybe.
There's your good. Let's get to your bad.
Now the bad.
So LeBron James was ejected in this Lakers win over the Pistons. They got a 121-116 win. Isaiah Stewart, Detroit big man, was ejected as well. Both of them kicked off the court. I think at the time of the ejection, let me just look at this. Yeah. Lloyd, at the time of the ejection, Detroit was up 78-66. And LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart are both kicked off the court, and the Lakers would go on to get a 121-116 win. This happened in the third quarter, and it happened with about 9 minutes left. So they're all on the line, taking a couple of free throws. And Stewart is lined up next to LeBron. LeBron goes to get bodied position and kind of extends his elbow and arm. And you see Isaiah Stewart starts to kind of wipe the elbow and arm off. And LeBron throws just a really quick forearm, just bam, and gets him right in the eye. And it cuts his eye and bloodied him up pretty good. Isaiah Stewart, it's like it took a minute for the engine to get revving. He got up off the court and kind of grabbed LeBron and then felt his eye and was like, that hurt. And then it started to build a little bit more and then a little bit more. And then Russell Westbrook runs in and tries to get in and split things up. And then you had all these sideline people. Like, I don't know where all these people in blue shirts came from. By the time I knew it, there was like 20 people in blue shirts separating people. I guess they must have a crew or something.
What is going on this year in the NBA? People just looking to brawl this year.
No, it's players.
Not really. Let's not say they're looking
to be fussy.
Yeah.
And it's the players and fans. Fans are misbehaving. Players are misbehaving. Haven't seen any coaches misbehave yet, have you? Have we seen any? No. Have we seen any coaches that have been in the fracas?
Do you see the – oh, wait. Are we on the bad? Maybe you have this for the ugly.
I don't. It's our buddy's situation, Freddie.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe you have it in sports roulette.
I don't.
Anything about a Kings fan?
No.
Well, maybe we'll put it in.
12 stories. Hold it for sports roulette.
I'll hold it for sports roulette.
Because we do have a packed wheel, but we can always add more. So Isaiah Stewart, LeBron James were ejected in this thing. And the funny thing about this was in the post game, and I don't know if you've heard Russell Westbrook's post game. So they're asking Russell Westbrook about this, and Westbrook's talking, and then they're like, so, Westbrook, you got a tech in this, and, you know, what did you think? And Westbrook goes, who got a tech? I got a tech? And they're like, yeah. Westbrook didn't realize he was issued a tech, and you could tell he was really bugged that he got a tech. He's like, well, I guess they had to pin it on somebody, so they pinned it on me. Oh, you poor picked-on crybaby. They're not pinning it on anybody. Stay out of the fights. Although I do think that the NBA has gotten a little bit liberal with handing out techs. Haven't you, Lloyd? Like, the NBA's gotten
absolutely
very liberal with being like, tech, you know, slapping.
And just to make it even, let's just give you both one. No, you either give the culprit the tech, stop giving two T's out just to make it even.
And make sure it's a proper tech. Like, make sure it's deserved. Like,
This isn't a participation trophy. Come on.
Westbrook did not deserve a tech in what he did. I'll be honest. He didn't. Now, when the Jazz got in their little scuffle and Joe Ingles contacted an official and Donovan Mitchell contacted an official, I get it. Those officials don't want to be touched, and the NBA has to be very sensitive to that. Outside of that, come on. These are grown men. They're bugged at each other. They're playing a physical sport. A little contact. Don't call the tech. With the LeBron James elbow, maybe a tech. Well, anyways, Isaiah Stewart, his engine continues to rev and rev and rev and rev. And he's like telling everybody, all right, I'm calm. They kind of release his grip on him. And he goes from the baseline past the half court through like 10 people acting like he's trying to get to LeBron. I don't know if he's actually trying, but acting like he was trying to get LeBron. And I was cracking up a little bit.
Stop being a fool.
It's such a display. All right, there is your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
So I would really encourage any of you out there, and Lloyd, I know you stand by me with this, any of you out there that have ever watched a BYU game that had Jan Jorgensen, the defensive end, on the outside, or any of you that ever listened to a broadcast that had Jan Jorgensen, he did a red and blue show with Kyle Gunther for years. That was awesome. He's been coaching at the high school and JUCO level for years and years. And he had a little boy named Truman, and he was born with a heart defect, a very serious heart defect. Well, that heart defect has taken Truman's life, and it has left Jan and his wife in a pretty tough situation. And in kind of a collaborative effort with one of my former co-hosts, Sean O'Connell, the real OC, the fighting world that Jan was a part in, the radio industry, which Jan was a big part, and also the college football coaching world, which Jan is a big part, could truly use your help. And I did tweet out a link. It's just an easy Venmo for a memorial fund for Truman James Jorgensen. And little Truman was born on May 13th, 2019, and just passed away on the 19th. And it's tragic. It's horrifying to think that my buddy is having to go through this. And I also know that that family could use the help. They could use the love. They could use the support. You could find the memorial fund at on my Twitter, at 975Hance. And I know that that family would be grateful. And again, this was a collaborative effort on mine and OC's part. And I just know that that family would never ask for help. Lloyd, you know Jan.
Yeah, you won't, by the way, you won't find a better, probably a better family than that Jorgensen clan.
Yeah.
Like they are
all of them
good people from his dad, mom, all, like brother, you name it. Like all of them are unbelievable people.
Yeah, they are. The kind of people that we all want to be like. And I just know that they could really use a leg up. And so you could find that at 975Hance. To Jan and his family, the radio industry, the radio community, everybody loves you. And Lloyd and I are certainly, our hearts go out to you. And I would speak on behalf of Scotty G as well, who is out of town. Actually, he's on his way back into town. But we all love you. We support you. And the listeners out there, anything that you can do to help, I know it will go a long way, but you can find all that information at 975Hance on Twitter. I tweeted out a link for the Venmo account that can go to the funds and truly help a cause that is in need of help. All right, there you go. The good, bad, and ugly here on 97.5, 12 into the zone. Andrew Reinert with Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us again. Andrew, how are we doing today? We doing all right?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. And just excited to send listeners your way so you can give them a little bit of help, Andrew. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Andrew, how can you help our listeners?
Well, as the holidays approach, we tend to spend a little more time with our loved ones. That's a great thing normally. If ED is an issue, it actually can put a magnifying glass on the problem. If you're frustrated in the bedroom, we have a major advancement. It's a technology that uses acoustic waves. It regrows and opens up blood vessels. In fact, it's clinically proven to do so with pressure waves. Here's why so many men are doing it. They're sick of the pill. They're sick of the side effects. They're sick of trips to the pharmacy. They want spontaneity back in the bedroom, and that is what the treatments at Wasatch Medical Clinic can do.
801-901-8000, those treatments at Wasatch Medical Clinic. That's the way you get started, 801-901-8000. And, Andrew, I know that you've got some incentives, some gifts, if people call in right now that they can take advantage of.
Yes, some holiday gifts today. Call us now if you're ready to regain your love life. This is zero obligation, zero price. You can leave your wallet at home. You'll meet with our medical doctor free. The exam and assessment, plus blood flow ultrasound, also a gift that produces immediate results to intimacy. I think you guys will really love that. And this is a pretty cool aspect today. Blood work and testosterone, totally free as well.
801-901-8000. Andrew, how many times do you have to come back or do you need to typically come back for these procedures?
According to Cambridge University, they said that the average guy needs a few treatments over a two-week period, so not all that many times. And then from there, they say long-lasting results, so you don't typically have to repeat it.
801-901-8000. That's Andrew Reinert with Wasatch Medical Clinic. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Whole World News coming up next.
This is Unripe.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
What are the odds that Mark Harlan calls Kalani to just chat about things in the next couple of years? Is that totally insane to think that Kalani would entertain a job offer from Utah, a place that he's pulled the paycheck down from before?
Here's why I say yes, it's a possibility. Ooh. And I say yes because Kalani Sitake would be phenomenal at Utah.
Oh, boy. I hated even hearing that come out of your mouth.
But he would. I mean,
it sounded disgusting.
How he would recruit and what he could bring to the program.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
We've got the whole.
You know, I've come across a lot of whole world news segments that make no sense at all, and this one doesn't make a ton of sense. By the way, whole world news brought to you by EliteWorks. If you need a new website, if you need a website rebuilt, call them 844-523-2777. They are doing free website rebuilds to improve your website. That's 844-523-2777, or check them out at EliteWorks.com. So, Lloyd, there's drunk, and then there is change your name in the middle of the night drunk. Apparently, this man in England, his name was Thomas Dodd. At some point in a drunken evening, put together all the paperwork, got his funds all put together, and I think it's about $120, and sent in all the paperwork for a name change. Without even realizing that he had done so, a couple of weeks later, he gets a packet back. They had accepted the name change, and it was official. His new name? Celine Dion.
What?
He said, I quote, "I am slightly obsessed with her. I'm not going to lie about it. During lockdown, I've watched a lot of live concerts on TV. I can only think I've been watching one of hers and
did you say during lockdown?
Yeah, the COVID lockdown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought maybe this guy was in prison or something.
No, no.
And I'm just like, no. Oh.
I can only think that I was watching one of her great concerts and had a great idea after a few drinks. He doesn't remember this. He's of Tamworth, Staffordshire. That's where he lives. He saw Celine live in Birmingham back in 2019. Said he received all the official paperwork in the mail. Everything was sealed up and done. And this is the funny thing, Lloyd. He's got a short period of time to get his driver's license, passport, and all official other government documents changed over to Celine Dion. So it's going to cost him money. And the reporter asked him, well, are you just going to change it back? And he said, no, it's going to be less expensive for me to just change all of my identification.
Is this like...
So he's going to just change all his identifications, and he's just going to go with Celine Dion.
You've heard of people doing like it's a real thing, like Ambien shopping.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Like people take Ambien to go to sleep or would help them sleep or whatever. Mm-hmm. And next thing they know, they've bought all sorts of things on what is that shopping network or whatever?
Like the G Center, Q Center, or Q Shopping something.
Yeah. The QVC.
QVC.
QVC. Yeah. And they buy all kinds of things. And they wake up and all of a sudden they receive all these packages and they're like, wait, what?
Yep.
What is this?
Sometimes some level of intoxication is going to come back and bite you. But if I got paperwork back that said I had changed my name to Avril Lavigne, I'd be like, oh, I like Avril. Or, you know, I like, the singer I like?
Nelly Furtado.
No, I like Nelly, yes, but Selena Gomez. I like that Selena Gomez.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Nelly Furtado. How'd you know I like Nelly Furtado?
I know you, dude.
Oh.
I know the types of things you like.
Yeah, I do like Nelly Furtado. But I would be more likely to change my name to probably Selena Gomez.
Oh, what's that other one you like?
If you were going to change your name to any female artist.
The one with the snaggle tooth.
Oh, Jewel?
Jewel.
Yeah,
you're
like
a big
Jewel.
Jewel guy, too.
I like Jewel. If you were going to change your name to any female singing artist, who would it be? Because we could...
The artist formerly known as Left Eye. I go Left Eye.
Lisa Lopez.
Yeah.
She was great. So you just, your name would be Left Eye?
Just Left Eye.
Could you imagine getting all the paperwork and being like, what? When did I change my name to Celine Dion? How did this happen?
And for it to be cheaper, maybe you're not doing well money-wise or whatever, but for it to be cheaper, it'd be like, you're just gonna have to suck this up. You're going to have to be Celine Dion because it's too expensive to go through all the work and get it changed back.
Apparently,
I just want to know how he was coherent enough to actually fill out all the paperwork correctly.
He got it done.
That's impressive.
Thomas Dodd, now known as Celine Dion.
Thomas
Dodd's
England. A boring name anyway, so this is probably better.
Yeah.
Thomas Dodd.
Yeah.
That sounds like a serial killer.
God, could you imagine putting it in for a table of two? Celine Dion, table of two. And you're like, oh, yeah.
That's me.
It's me.
Let's go.
Changed his name to Celine Dion. Unbelievable. We'll be talking with Andrew Reinert of Wasatch Medical Clinic just here in just a second. I still can't believe that, though. That has to be some extensive paperwork. That has to be.
Can't imagine you just type it in.
No.
Celine Dion, submit.
No, it seems like that'd be a process to get your name changed to Celine Dion. And I'm actually a little surprised that they're like, yeah, let him do it. What? But he's changing his name to Celine Dion. Yeah, let him have it. Like, wouldn't somebody try to talk some sense into him from the government offices? Like, hey, Todd, I know you like her, but don't know if you want your name to be that. Andrew Reinert of Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us. Andrew, how are we doing? You still doing all right, buddy?
I am doing good. Yes, good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's always fun. I watch different things, and I see all over the place. You're a busy man.
Mr. ED, yes.
By the way, if I could change my name, it would be Andrew Reinert. Yes.
I know.
If I could do that, that's what I'd change my name to.
I'd do it too, Andrew.
Right.
You're a good man. 801-901-8000 to contact Wasatch Medical Clinic. Andrew, what can you do for our listeners?
Well, we can help with performance in the bedroom. That's what Wasatch Medical does. You look out over the last 10 or 15 years, technology has changed pretty much everything in life. It's now changing how we treat ED with acoustic wave therapy. It's a technology that is backed by 50 studies opening up and regrowing blood vessels with pressure waves. Men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s come to us to improve performance. Men in their 60s, 70s, and 80s come to us to get back function. This can help. It's clinically proven to improve circulation.
801-901-8000. If you're struggling with that, you can call 801-901-8000, and you can talk with their great representatives, and you can get back on the road to recovery. Andrew, I know that you've got some fun things, some gifts and incentives that come along with this.
We really believe in delivering a lot of value. We know this is a sensitive topic, but if you're ready to regain your love life or just improve things, call us. The exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound, it's free, zero obligation. You get a gift that is worth the trip. It produces immediate results to intimacy. And this is a really cool aspect that we've been doing recently. Blood work and testosterone. I know guys spending thousands on this. It is totally free today as well.
801-901-8000. Take advantage of the free. Take advantage of this great opportunity. That's 801-901-8000. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Kalani Sitake. You'll hear from him next.